The other big story today, jobs numbers. The U.S. economy added 223,000 jobs in the month of June. The unemployment rate fell to 5.3% from 5.5% in May. The news comes as President Obama travels to the University of Wisconsin at La Crosse to speak on the state of the economy and his newly announced plan to reset the salary threshold for eligible workers for overtime. Until this week, workers who made just over $23,000 per year got time and a half for working overtime. President Obama's new rule more than doubles that salary cap to more than $50,000, making nearly 5 million more Americans eligible for overtime pay. It's a far cry from what was imagined would be the impact of the Fair Labor Standards Act, which back in 1938, under Franklin Delano Roosevelt, established the minimum wage and the concept of a national overtime standard.
Except perhaps for the Social Security Act, it is the most far-reaching program, the most far-sighted program for the benefit of workers that has ever been adopted here or in any other country. Without question, it starts us towards a better standard of living and increases purchasing power to buy the products of farm and of factory.
Lawrence Michel, author of The State of Working America and president of the Economic Policy Institute, says President Obama's new overtime rules are an echo from the days of the Depression-era New Deal.
Well, the Fair Labor Standards Act is one of the great New Deal reforms passed in 1938. It's the same law that provides the minimum wage, and it's the same law that eliminated child labor. And we've been building on that ever since. The problem is that some of the protections to get overtime have really diminished over time. In 1975, about 62% of salaried workers were eligible for overtime. And in recent years, it's been only about 8%. So that is what the administration is trying to solve with this new proposed regulation.
And did the Fair Labor Standards Act enshrine the eight-hour day as something of an absolute? And who was determined to be eligible for overtime back then, and who is eligible today? What kind of worker?
Well, it did solidify the eight-hour day back in the Great Depression, and I think it was a way also to try to create work so that a lot of people didn't have overtime. The work would be done by other people who would have employment. The scope of coverage of the Fair Labor Standards Act expanded quite a lot over the ensuing years, so that by the early 1960s, it covered the entire economy. It covered a smaller part of the economy in the 1930s. Too many people today, though, think that they are not eligible to overtime just because they're paid a salary rather than by the hour. That's not true. You don't get overtime if you are an executive, administrative, or professional worker, and if you earn more than $23,000. $660. That's the current rule. And if you have those kinds of responsibilities, you know, employers can not provide overtime. But the definition of the ability of employers to decide who has supervisory responsibilities has been expanded and has been kind of a gray area. And so in practice, I think very few salaried workers are getting overtime protections at this point.
I mean, it's become this strange situation where, you know, hey there, Mr. Worker, the good news is we're promoting you to management, and the bad news is you're not going to get any overtime anymore. And, you know, this question of feeling like whether you're managing anything seems to be a workaround for the whole idea of overtime. Is that the way employers have used the Fair Labor Standards Act, promoting people into positions where they don't have to pay them overtime?
Well, that does happen quite a lot. There's lots of instances of people who are managing stores, working 60 hours a week, where they spend most of their time actually being cashiers or stocking shelves or unloading trucks. And what that means is that your hours after 40 are free. And when that happens, then employers are going to use a lot of them. When something is cheap, people buy a lot of it. That's a law of economics. And it means they don't have to respect the time of those managers. I think many of these people that get these jobs that then work all these hours, you know, they weren't told when they got the job that that was what was going to be expected of them or that's what the situation was going to demand. So I think basically getting overtime protection requires that employers really respect the time of their all their employees. And what it'll do is the people who now are working all these long hours will work less hours. They'll probably get some overtime pay, but some of the work is going to be done by hourly workers and part-time workers who maybe will be able to get a full-time job out of it.
Is there a formal process for petitioning to get overtime under the Fair Labor Standards Act? I mean, could some manager in a 7-Eleven in North Dakota who has to work, as you say, 20 hours at a stretch, petition to get overtime, even though they're called the manager of the store?
Well, I think they have to talk to their employer. They could access the Wage and Hours Division of the Department of Labor. There may be laws that apply in the particular state.
So in theory, they can do this, but I mean, it sort of scares me to imagine.
In practice, people are intimidated. The Department of Labor, in its report this week, said that one of the big misunderstandings is that both employers and employees think that if you're paid a salary, you're not eligible for overtime. That's not true. And that's what one of the great benefits of this new rule, which is saying that right now, if you earn under $23,660, you are automatically eligible for overtime. It's a very low salary. That's equivalent to the poverty line for a family of four. The department is proposing lifting that salary threshold to $50,440. So what this means is that everybody will know that if you basically earn under $50,000, you're eligible, salaried or not, except if you're in a few specific occupations that are excluded. You know, what it does is it makes it clear where people stand, both to the employee and the employers. And I think it'll give people more protection, more access to overtime, more ability to protect their own rights.
Talking about the history of what we once called tasty overtime, time and a half pay, and the work rules that the Obama administration has changed to have an impact on middle-class workers, Lawrence Michel is author of The State of Working America and president of the Economic Policy Institute. Lawrence, thanks so much.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.